Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about how do we play nice in the sandbox. Is it good? Is it bad? Sometimes it feels like a pressure cooker. Sometimes I feel like we go to work and we just want to get the heck out of here. Well, now in the year 2020, hey, we have a chance. We used to work in the office, those big buildings, all of those big meetings, and we kind of conformed. We were in a cubicle, a space, a time. Now, many are working from home. Many are saying, I can do what I need to do. Do I really want to be in this team? Do I really want to be doing this job? How do I want to be able to engage in the world around me? Many are having a shift right now, and we will see maybe in the year 2021 how everything will shake out, and maybe other people will say, my world looks so different, I almost don't recognize it compared to last year. Today my guest is Teresa Lodato. Her book is Why Aren't You Listening to Me? Elevate Your Emotional Intelligence and Connect with Your Team. Teresa, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you very much, Dr. Jeanette. Thank you for having me.
Oh, you're so welcome. Teresa, don't you think the idea of what we do for our daytime hours has really kind of been thrown up in the air these days?
Oh, absolutely. Our daytime hours, our nighttime hours, it seems as though everything has been turned upside down, and we've lost that sense of scheduling and routine, and I think it's thrown a lot of people for a loop.
Yeah. When you talk about in your book, you know, about connecting with your team, and as I said in the beginning, how do you play nice in a sandbox? Don't you think the idea is that sometimes people felt pressured to be at a job, to do what they were supposed to do, or trying to conform, but it all seemed like it was, is this just kind of like a story that you go and you play it out and it's not the real you?
Yeah, I think that, you know, with this time, I've referred to this as a great time of pause. And I know that there are some people who think, gosh, it's not a time of pause. It's not a vacation. I'm busier than ever. And I don't mean it that way. I mean it in the sense that this is a time, or this has been a time, for people to take the opportunity to pause and reflect on their life. And I think what happens, what's been happening with a lot of my clients for sure, and as well as people that are kind of in my world that I've been watching on Facebook and what have you, that a lot of people are realizing that they were kind of stuck on a hamster wheel for, you know, these past several years. And they're realizing, hey, wait a minute. You know, I'm really valuing this time with my family, or I'm valuing having more time in my day because I'm not commuting an hour to work both ways. I'm really valuing being able to have time to get out in nature. And I think this has been such a great opportunity for those people who were willing and courageous to look at their lives in this way to realign with what their core values are. And that's a big thing that I work with my clients, is getting in alignment with the core values, the core of who you are, what's really important to you. Because when you do that, then you're able to make decisions that feel good in your life, that make you feel like you're fulfilled, that drive success. You know, I think for the longest time, so many people in our nation and our world have been after money, or they've been after something, you know, striving for something without valuing the rest of their lives. So I think this has been a great time for people to really examine that.
Right. I think if you look back on history, you know, pretty much everybody, we grew up in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and that was what you were told to do. It was how the generations before have done it. And we kind of were just almost like ghosting ourselves and showing up in people and positions and professions, and because that was what we were supposed to do. We think about, you know, the idea of knowledge. Before the internet came, you know, if you were a doctor or a lawyer or a judge or something or a priest, you had your own set of books. You had your own knowledge. And it was kind of, you had this like little halo around you where it was just for you. Then all of a sudden, you know, out comes the internet, and now all knowledge is everyone's knowledge. And now we're saying, ooh, you mean I can hear this, read this, know that? So if you think about it, the essence of the last 20 years has brought us to this building point where all of a sudden we said, pressure cooker, pop. Now it's time for everybody to stop and then make a choice. And, I mean, we had nowhere else to go but to be able to say this is where we're at now. Stop, however long it takes, and figure out what your next move is, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that's not only been what's happened in the workplace, but it's also what happens in relationships as well. I mean, mm-hmm. in the, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, the way moms raised their girls was different than the way moms raised their girls and sons these days. So I think there's been a big opportunity for shift in many different areas across people's lives.
And also, too, let's talk about the idea of business, which your book is about. And it also is about when you're in business, you're told what to do. You're supposed to do it. I'll never forget. I had this just temporary job at a florist to be able to, you know, just to give me a little bit of something else different. I wanted to do it around Christmas and Valentine's Day just to be able to be around some flowers. And I had the first few days I brought in this idea and they said, but that's not your job grade. You're just supposed to do this. And I went, whoa, you know, talk about, I mean, like you almost felt like you were like propelled backwards, you know. And this continued mm-hmm. along the path. And I went, wow, you were just this peg in the wheel. Do you think sometimes teams or jobs or even in relationships, you're there to conform to that identity. And that identity has a set of rules, right?
Yeah, I think that, you know, it's interesting. There was a big buzz about millennials, I remember, when they started entering the workforce. And mm-hmm. I remember speaking with people that had been in the workforce for many, many years, you know, kind of the boomer generation. And right. they were saying, I just don't understand these millennials. You know, they just won't get done what needs to get done right now. And mm-hmm. I always remember thinking to myself, okay, is it more important that they do what you tell them to do, or is it more important that they get the job done and get it done well, professionally, effectively? And when I wrote this book, you know, I was really inspired by that type of personality. You know, it's a personality. My mother shares that kind of ideology as well, that leader personality that just wants to get things done. And when you're in that unconscious state, the way you communicate it is, I need you to do this now. I need you to do this the way I'm telling you to do it. Right. Versus a more conscious leader that acknowledges and recognizes that we all have our own strengths. And my gosh, in today's modern day especially, it is so key for businesses to leverage their talents, strengths. You know, you could hire anybody to just do a job, but if you want to get an edge in the world, you really want to hire people that have that capacity to get the job done, get it done well, get it done effectively, and really empower your team. That's what you're doing. You're spending all this money to hire this talent. My God, leverage it instead of just right. dropping them into a cookie cutter, you know, hole.
You know, it's so funny. My kids would always say to me, Mom, you belong, you need to work at UPS because you just want to get the job done. You know, and you're always on time. You always got it done, and it's check off those boxes. But in essence, I grew up like that, you know, but also to now – when I look back at it, the way I do things now, I think we can also shift the frame of how we look at that in perspective and say, it's almost an innate part of me. In other words, when I get up, I turn this on and that on and close this and shift that and change that. But it isn't a thing of a checklist. It's almost, it's innate. It's part of me, our essence. So I think sometimes we always want to wag the finger and say, well, why are you doing it that way? Do you know what I mean? I have a better way to do it. When in essence, if you can let their innate parts work out to be part of the system, it works better. You know, someone said to me one day, why are you always putting this, I always put like, you know how you always put a quilt over the top of your bed? In other words, it's, to me, it was always to close the night and you know, you're preserving your bed and keeping the dust off of your blankets. You always put a quilt over, you know. And they're like, this is ridiculous. You're putting it over here every single day and we never use it. What's the point? And I said, because it's just me. So one day I just said, because it's just me. It's just what I enjoy. Instead of saying, because it keeps the dust off. So I think sometimes if we just shift it and say, because I enjoy it. You know, if you don't want to assist me in the process, that's fine, but I enjoy it, so I'm going to do it. Sometimes we say, you know, with millennials, if they're always saying, but I want to do it this way or this is how it's done, it's part of their innate also that they're bringing forth, right?
Yeah. And I mean, there is an element, of course, in any job. You know, you're hiring for a role. You're hiring someone to do a particular job for you. So it really is a balancing act. You know, you don't want necessarily someone to come in and just completely overhaul things, because obviously the wheel, you know, at least in a job that has had prior employees, you know, I'm sure that there was a wheel that was created. They know what works. They know what doesn't work. However, it's also important to allow people to be themselves, to bring forth their strength, to leverage those strengths. And to your point, you know, saying things like, I'm doing this because it makes me feel good. I value this. That's what's really key. Finding out what is important to you and then aligning with that value and then being able to move forward. I think so many times when people aren't in alignment with who they are at the core of their being, who they, what their values are, or what's really important to them, I think that's what ends up causing a lot of stress and the opportunity for burnout in the workplace. When you're constantly going against the grain, constantly doing something that doesn't feel right to you, that isn't in alignment with you, it's requiring a lot more effort. And so if we can work with people and help them to get aligned with who they are, there's going to be a lot less friction, a lot less effort that's having to be put forth, and they're going to enjoy things a lot better. You know, that's the whole key of my sayings, you know, get better results with less effort and more joy. And when you align with the core of who you are, you're able to realize that in your life.
I always think of the phrase, there's only one boss at this job, and it's not you, you know. I mean, come on, have you not heard that over your time? I've heard that. They've said it to me. But anyway, I would be one of those people who would go in, you know, and I think we can appreciate this year, in the year 2020, is that there's a lot of people that will say, oh, wow, I see this as and they see it so differently as it presents. And many times businesses will say, but that's not your job, but that's not what we're asking you to do, but that's not this. Well, really, in essence, what is happening when someone comes into your business and does that, that's an absolute gift, because they're seeing it from the outside, how you're reflecting in the business world. And is not that the beautiful gift to accept? In other words, they haven't been dumbed down by the dogma. They're free. They're seeing it from the other side. Wow, your job would look so great. Maybe if you put a sign out front, or maybe if you put flowers on the desk, or isn't that really cool? They're seeing it from the customer side, or they're seeing it from, you know, how everything is playing out. And many times people like that, are almost like, oh, that's not good for us because they won't be the peg in the wheel. Do you think that there's like really two different camps there? But you have to decide which your business you would like it to be, right?
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, that plays into people's mindsets as well. You know, there are people that have fixed mindsets that are very structured, very rigid in their routines, and it's very hard for them to shift into any different way. It's almost like they have blinders on. They know what works and they just, you know, rinse and repeat. And the problem is that the world is dynamic. It's constantly changing. If you're not changing and you're not growing, then you're dying. I mean, we see that represented in the natural world all the time. And so I think that the businesses, the teams, the employers that can embrace the fact that the world is dynamic and that they have to grow and change with the times and look for different opportunities, it doesn't necessarily mean that every idea that's brought in by a new employee or by a consultant is going to be the right one. But when you align yourself with those core values, whether it's the core value of the business, the core value of the leaders, however you align, as long as it's in alignment, you're going to be able to respond and grow in that dynamic way to create more success. You know, I live here in just outside the Silicon Valley, and there are a lot of businesses that obviously are more cutting edge. You know, they're the technology businesses. They're doing lots of incredible things. And it requires dynamic workforces. It requires them to focus on hiring talent and then playing to their strengths. I remember one time, a long time ago, I heard something about Tiger Woods when he was golfing, and I forget exactly what the quote was, but the essence of it was, Tiger Woods doesn't go out and practice what he doesn't do well. He goes out and he practices what he does really well over and over and over until it's automatic. And then he gets coaching on the things that he doesn't do well so that he can bring that part of himself, part of that stroke, part of that swing, whatever it is, up a little bit so that as he elevates and advances, he's bringing up the sides of him or the aspects of him that aren't his strengths. And I think that was such an important message for me because I was raised, work on what you're weak at. And focus on that. And once I made that shift to focus on my strengths, boy, the world really opened up and it created a lot more possibilities for me. And I think that there are a lot of people that are out there, especially with more fixed mindsets, that are focusing on the areas where they're weak. And they're putting a lot of energy there, and it causes a lot of stress, it causes a lot of discomfort and disease. And I think once they make that shift to focusing on their strengths, they're going to feel and realize a release within themselves. You know, it's more empowering to focus on your strengths and then to take some time at the end or off to the side to be coached or to, you know, receive support in order to improve those areas where they're weak. But really, the focus should be really on the strengths. What are you doing well, and how can we do that better? Because that's what's really going to advance us in our careers, advance us in our workplace, and be able to provide the success and productivity to our employers. I mean, that's really what it's about, is getting the job done, getting it done well, and making it feel like you're having that successful fulfillment that people, I think, really long for in their hearts.
But I think also, too, Teresa, if you look at it, in this past few decades, people have really started to evolve. I mean, we're not the same beings as we were even 20, 30 years ago. You know, we would have never questioned anything. We would have never said anything differently. We would have had our certain rituals, and we would have always followed them. Now things are evolving at warp speed, and people are finding it difficult to catch up. Let's look at relationships for a second, and relationships are just a reflection of your business world also. But if you look at relationships, I mean, I can't even comprehend the idea that a woman doesn't cook, you know. And there's so many, and I look and these people around, they say, but I don't cook, do you? And I'm like, I can't understand that you don't, you know. So I think the idea is, just as you said with your strengths, is that many will say, but I'm great with the kids. I spend time with them all the time. Or I go out and I have a really busy job. Or I really take care of, I'm an artist, or I have a whole creative phase around me. And then you just find someone who's able to mesh with that and accept it, where they love to cook, and then they don't like to take care of the kids, or they don't want to clean the house, or whatever it might be. So everybody finds their own particular niche to be able to be in each decade that we're in. However, I think where the glitch comes is that we used to have a job forever. We used to have it, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, I can remember I graduated college in the early 70s, and that was going to be my profession for life, you know. If you could, like, you got that mm-hmm. stamp, you're good to go. And really, now in the year 2020, people are changing relationships, you know. They'll be in there 5-10 years, and they're on to the next one. Or they have a different job or a different profession, and they're shifting and shaping so many different ways. I think that's our true essence right now, is to accept that we will change and we will grow, versus saying, this is my strength, I'm going to keep it, and I've got it like that all the time. Because it will be there, and then you'll say, but you know what, but then I want to check something else. Don't you think accepting that morphing is really our gift right now?
Oh, absolutely. You know, it's funny that you should bring that up, because that's one thing that I work with when I work with my personal clients on their personal relationships. And, you know, so many times, especially when they are in the beginning stages of relationships, they're dating. You know, they women especially, but, you know, some of my male clients will come this way too, and they'll say, I want a woman who is this, or I want a man who is this, who makes a certain amount of money, like, for example, you know, who makes a, you know, mid-six-figure income, and he's around all the time, and he can be supportive of me, and you know, and we can go, and we can travel, and we can have a big house, and he drives a BMW. And I always giggle inside when I hear that, because I think to myself, and I'll ask my clients, okay, let's think about this for a moment. You've got a man, or you want a man that has a high six-figure income or a mid-six-figure income, and he's around all the time. How many men, realistically, that are single, that are available and want to be dating, do you think that there are in your area, or even in the nation, or even in the world, who are making that much money and also have the capacity to be home, you know, during the days and be available for all the events? And it's like, we just don't think. We want everything, but we aren't really considering what the trade-offs are. And I love how you brought up the personal relationships, how, you know, if one person's strong in this area and the other person's strong in that area, that's what I'm helping my personal clients to do, to recognize their strengths and then recognize what they want in a relationship. It's not about what you want in another person. It's what you want the relationship to look like. You know, I coach my clients that the relationship is a separate entity. There's you, me, and the relationship that we create together. And I think when you do that, you can create healthy boundaries, number one. But number two, you can add your gifts to the relationship, almost like you're depositing them to a bank account. You're depositing money to the bank account. And, for example, in my marriage, why it works so well is precisely that. What I am really strong at, my husband is either not as strong in that area, or he's not as interested in that area. Mm-hmm. Whereas his strengths, those are areas where I don't really want to do those things, or maybe I'm just not as strong. And so what we're doing is we're leveraging, we're coming together, 1 + 1 = 3, which is the perfect dynamic for a team. When you can come together and you can add up all the things that you are really good at, all your strengths, and it creates a team that is stronger than either of you could be on your own. And I think when you do that either in your personal life or if you do that on your teams in the workplace, that's when you can really excel and, you know, feel that fulfillment. You can feel that pride and that happiness, and it makes things so much more joyful because you're doing what you love, you're doing what you're good at, and you're excelling, you're reaping the rewards from it. So no matter which way you look at it, I think it's so key, once again, that you focus on your strengths, that you recognize what your values are, and you're able to bring that together in a way that helps you to be even better than you were before, even better than you were on your own, because that's the whole purpose of teams, whether it's one-on-one or it's a group of people.
Well, you know, also too, I think in closing, Teresa, this is very important, is that when you get a job, you're feeling a need, that need to have money so that you can feel safe and secure. When you're in a relationship, you have a need. You want to feel comforted, or you want to feel safe and secure. You want to feel financially okay. You want to have a sense of knowing that you won't be hurt or you will need trust. All of these emotions is what a job provides. All of these emotions is what your business encompasses, and it's also what your relationship, what you're engaging in. The difference is, at every day that you walk out the door or you wake up, you're engaging in how can I get my needs met within today, and you will seek that out. And I think if we totally understand that, is that our needs will change. Because as we become stronger or more empowered people, we will say, you know, I can feel safe and secure. I don't need his paycheck. I don't need it to come from that work. I don't need them to validate who I am. And once that happens, it's like, it's almost you think of it as an electric board. One of the fuses blows, and you'll say, whoop, I don't need that anymore. And eventually, then it's time to pick another story, another relationship, another job, to change your company. And that is A-okay. I think that's the biggest drive-home message, is that whatever's going on with you, as you work through these processes and work on yourself, it's A-okay to change that scenario, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's a big part of this whole awakening and becoming more conscious, becoming more self-aware. The more self-aware you are, the more you're already aware that this is a need that I have. This is something that is important to me. You know, I encourage my clients to write down like a needs list and a wants list, and then to take those top, like maybe the top five needs that they have for a job or for a relationship, and then be able to focus on those things. If a relationship, if you're dating, and the person that you're sitting across the table from does not meet those top five needs, then it's somebody that, you know, you need to let go so that you can make space for someone else. And the same for a job as well. You know, I think that it's so important that we are aware of our blind spots. We're aware of where we get triggered or what those underlying, those really deep needs are. You know, because if we have a need to feel safe and protected, it may come to the surface as something that might not be the best or the most effective route. You know, if I have the need to be safe and to be protected, I might seek out a man who provides me money and who provides me a marriage, but it might not, provide what I'm really seeking, that really important need within me, which is to be loved, or to be thought of as worthy of this relationship. And so the more aware I can become of myself, the more aware clients and people around the world can be aware of themselves, then they can really start to seek out what truly is important to them. Because a lot of times it's not what the first thing that comes up. The first thing that comes up is sometimes a little bit skewed because it's been mangled or it hasn't been, you know, I think of it as kind of frozen emotions or frozen situations. You know, that heat and light of awareness hasn't been shined upon it to melt it. But once that happens and those issues are brought to the surface, you can examine them and then consciously choose, is this really how I feel, or is it really about this over here instead? And then once you are able to see that clearly and you consciously choose, this is how I want to move forward, then you're living your life so much more empowered, and you can get the results that you're looking for because you're not just responding and reacting. You're really taking that forward stance to be able to move through your life with consciousness and with awareness and with choice, and that is so much more powerful. You know, that way, if you decide to make a change, you're doing it from a place of conscious awareness. You're not doing it because you're unconscious and you're just not thinking about it, which I think always leads to delays and indecision and confusion and stress. But when you do it from a conscious place, you're strong, you're empowered, you're clear, and you can really tap into your innate wisdom, the wisdom of a lifetime, you know, that our bodies hold. And it just makes us so much stronger, happier, and more fulfilled in life.
Yeah, I think that the realization in the year 2020, many are going to say, hold the boat, I'm changing, I'm going to become, I'm going to take care of, I'm going to honor, I'm going to listen to self, is really a time where I hope that a lot of people are really waking up to that fact, and I think that many people are. So maybe in the year 2021, businesses will look totally different, and won't that be so cool, right?
Absolutely. More clarity. Get that 2020 vision going.
Yeah, I already have a empty file folder on my desktop that says February 2020. I put it there about 2 months ago, and I said, I'm already there. You know, and it was like, I had already transitioned myself. I'm already there. Let's just move on. You know, one day I'll wake up and I'll be there, and it'll be a great thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. All that clarity and vision, I mean, it really is just about tuning into self and getting into deeper relationship with yourself, because we all have such unique and incredible strengths. Why not bring those forward and make your life and the life of all the people around you better?
Absolutely. And, you know, cleaning out the houses and cleaning out your office is a great thing, too, because you could shed all that stuff that's been clogging you up, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and it's interesting, too. I did that Marie Kondo, which was so popular a couple years ago. But it really, it's an excellent example, because as you're cleaning things out and clearing things out, you have that opportunity to examine them. And that's what I do in my coaching practice. You know, I help people to unpack these things, decide, to consciously choose, is this something I want to continue having in my life? Is this belief or this perspective really working for me? And if not, then you can let it go. But it's all about that consciousness, that awareness. Is this serving me? Is this making me a better person? Is this getting me closer to my goals? And when you start looking at it that way, you can release so much stuff that is just kind of hanging on and bogging us down. And you'll feel lighter. You'll feel like you have more purpose. You're clear on your visions. You'll be able to get more in touch with that innate wisdom within yourself. And then, gosh, just going forward, everything has got so much more ease and flow and grace. And that's really what it's all about. That's what makes life worth living.
Yeah. Well, many are seeking it, and I think they're trying to find it. Well, Teresa, it was such a pleasure to have you with us today. Could you share with the listeners how to find out more information about your work? That would be wonderful.
Sure. You can find me at my website, www.teresaladotto.com. I'm also on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, and soon to be Twitter. So I'm on all the socials, but the best place is on my website, and it has links to everything that you need to know about me, as well as to schedule a complimentary session with me. I offer all people that are interested in my coaching to chat with me for roughly 30 to 60 minutes and get a feel for what I do and how I could support them in their life going forward. And you can find all of that on my website. My book is there as well. You can purchase it through my website, have it downloaded to your Kindle or whatever electronic device, or get a paperback copy as well.
Very good. Well, Teresa, it was such a pleasure to speak with you today. I think we're giving everyone the permission to say, you know what, go out and play, go out and find yourself, and you don't need to carry all that baggage, right?
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Dr. Jeanette, for having me, and I wish everyone listening a wonderful day.
Thank you so much. If you'd like to find out more information about Teresa Lodato, again, her book is Why Aren't You Listening to Me? Elevate Your Emotional Intelligence and Connect with Your Team. Please do check out the link on the bottom of today's show page for more information and go directly to her website. And it is okay to say, this isn't working anymore. It is okay to say, I'm done. It is okay to say, I'm choosing something else. And once you're able to say that, something will show up. Something will shift. Something will change. Just sit, wait for a moment, maybe meditate, maybe clean out your desk, maybe clean out your home, or maybe just say, I don't know, and ask questions, ask for help. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit DrJeanetteGallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.